Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Father, we're about ready now to approach the Word of God. The Word of God is the very thing that we live by. It has more life for us than natural food. Father, I ask today the things I share with your people will bless them, give them an understanding of what it means to walk in such a manner that we don't harbor unforgiveness, but we have forgiveness in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5, this has been our theme scripture. Agree with your adversary, verse 25, quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. We brought out that the word agree with your adversary is kind of a confusing way of approaching this particular verse, but what he was talking about is if you are going to leave your gift at the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar, and it says, and go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Well, we have been learning that what is being said here is really your translator used the word adversary, but in the Greek it's opponent. And it says, while thou art on the way with him, meaning that you still have to walk with this particular individual. Now, we've said it time and time again that it is impossible for us to change people. All of us can agree to that. You can't change anybody. In case you haven't experienced that yet and you're still trying, I'm going to save you a whole lot of trouble and effort and tribulation. You can't change those that are in fellowship with you. The only thing that you can do is change to better your fellowship with mankind. Period, over and out. That's why the Bible is very clear. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And most of the time when you talk about the issue of forgiveness and unforgiveness, it's very interesting. It seems a little one-sided. It seems like it has more to say about what you need to do rather than the one that you're having problems with. Have you ever noticed that? You know, wouldn't it be nice to find a whole bunch of scriptures that says, if your opponent has aught against you, here's how you can deal back with them severely so that they never have aught with you again. Wouldn't that be great? We just don't find that. It always is a self-sacrifice. How many can say amen to that? It always requires self-sacrifice when you're dealing with people. And so here, it's very interesting how the translators use these certain words, adversary. Actually, it is opponent in the Greek. And if you, we went over into Matthew chapter 18, and I love going there, right from verse 1 to the end of the chapter, it goes into complete detail of how to deal with the situation of a brother who literally is causing offense in the body of Christ. Now, when you're forgiving somebody, you're not forgiving them on the basis of condoning what they're doing. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not condoning the wrong that's being done. Matter of fact, if your opponent is more the problem than you are, then, well, I'll get ahead of myself here. But anyway, he's saying here, agree with your opponent quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Now, what's very confusing is how can my opponent cause me to go to jail when I'm trying to leave a gift to God, do the right thing, and yet I remember this guy's got out against me? Well, if you go down to verse, let's go down to verse 29. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Very interesting scripture there. Now, if you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We have this similar statement here. And if your hand or foot, verse 8, causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life, lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Now, again, we all know that this is very confusing when you got these scriptures in between, sandwiched in between a subject or a theme. And, of course, on this basis here in Matthew 18, he deals with the first half of this chapter concerning a brother or sister. You're included in this, ladies. Just says brother there, but you ladies are included too, so you're not getting off. Anyway, what he's doing here in Matthew 18 is he's trying to settle the issue of how a behavioral pattern can affect the whole body of Christ. And so he's given us instructions here what to think about when you're dealing with someone who is not walking upright. And it's very interesting in the Greek here, the one who does the most violation is not the one who is teachable or willing to change, but it's the one who is so young in the Lord that he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any different. And he's doing things that offends the body of Christ. And so he comes down here and makes the same statement in verse 8 and 9 that we read over in Matthew 5. I think it was 26, 27, or 28. I think it was verse 28 that we read. Now, how many of you like your body as a whole? You wouldn't want to lose any part of your body, would you? What foot would you prefer to lose? Your right or your left foot? How about your eyeball? Which eyeball would you rather lose? Your right eyeball or your left eyeball? I don't think any of us would want to lose any parts of our body. Amen? So why would he bring that issue up? Well, because we got to go back to this word, agree with thine adversary. And one thing that is going to help us to understand about being able to join ourselves together and fit together more compactly and not lose each other is, first of all, rather than trying to understand where your opponent is coming from, try to, in where he's making his mistakes, try to find out what might be in you that's causing an offense in them. See, we don't want to think from that direction because we want to have vindication. We want to do something that will vindicate our position so that we can prove that they're wrong. Well, see, the Bible doesn't teach any form of that to prove that you're right and they're wrong. What it does is it focuses in on you personally. When you have aught with somebody, the best thing to do is go to them and ask them what their problem is. And let them express to you, amen? Now, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're not talking about unbelievers. That's a different story altogether. And let them try to express to you, and you can learn from their viewpoint. You can learn from how they see things very well. And you can determine whether they're right or they're wrong. But it helps for you to hear where they're coming from. Because that thing could be in you. Because you see, the more that we have what we call fellowship together, if there's more than two people, we're going to have problems in any form of fellowship. And what helps is every one of us seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling, not try to pattern our life after somebody else's mistakes. Are you following me? And so always, because you can't change anybody, and the human heart is a very complex thing. A lot of people don't realize how complex the human heart can be and what it's made up of. Now, we've been studying the human heart on Wednesday nights, and I've been doing that on purpose to show you how much the Bible talks about the human heart and all that it's made up of. Matter of fact, I've got a list that I brought out about the inner life of mankind. The inner life is a part of a person's personality, his character, his intellectual life, his self-image, his feelings, thinking, willingness, will, intentions, directions, and also his spiritual being. His spiritual being. And thank God for the new birth, because what the new birth does is it removes your spiritual being, your inner man, from your outer man in circumcision. That is what we call being born from above or born again. And then, of course, when that takes place, then you have what we call a newness of life to begin to live. And this time it's from the inside out, not dealing with outside issues to the inside. And that's why when we're talking about unforgiveness and forgiveness, all of these are issues that are found in a person's heart. And so you can't change people. You can't get them to treat you right. You didn't get a birth certificate that said fairness of life when you were born into this world. There ain't no such birth certificate. I meant the world will come with its offenses. I will offend you. Why? Because I will preach something that could offend you. Guess what? The Word of God is perfect in its volumes. It's perfect in how it's set up. And yet, you are so full of offenses that the Word can offend you. See? And so, when we're talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness, we're dealing with the issues of a person's heart. And you cannot figure out how to restore anything by a self-vindicating position that you could hold. The only way that you can really learn to get along with people and no longer create death in their life with you is to find out what could offend them and remove that from you so that you would be a non-offendable person. And there's where the removing of your body parts comes in. He didn't say go and look to chop off what you sin. I wouldn't have any body parts left. And so what he's saying there is he's saying that the information that people can give you, pass on to you, rather than taking up a mind of self-vindication, get an understanding a little bit about where they're coming from so that you can determine within your own heart whether you've created that in them or not. And so if you find that you are the one who can create an offense because of what's in you, remove that. Cut it off so that you won't pass that offense on to somebody else. Now, you can't do anything about them. I guarantee you, get into an argument with a brother or sister in the Lord, and you could argue from now until the return of the Lord and waste all your time. But what you can do is take on the responsibility of what the Bible tells you to remove from you that could offend somebody else. Now you're making some time here. You're making some headway. Is this making sense to you? Now, many of us, when we hear the message of how to forgive and not to harbor unforgiveness, many of you have responded because you already had a conviction in your heart that something has taken place within you. And I'm going to tell you something. The human heart is so complex that over a period of time, if you've had the wrong associations in your life and they place scars in your heart, I got news for you. You're not going to change your feelings overnight. Even though you say, I'm going to let them go, I'm not going to let what they did to me bother me, you're still going to have those feelings in you. I don't care who you think you are, because your heart just doesn't switch on and off. It takes a process of time to work that thing out of you. And even forgiving people, you can make a conscious decision to forgive them, but the feelings that you have still reside within you, and that takes a little time to get them moved out. That's why you can't go by what you feel. You've got to go by the decisions you make when you want to forgive somebody in your heart. See, and so you've got to work that out over a process of time. You see. Is it making sense to you? You see, a lot of people come up and they've made a decision that they're going to walk in forgiveness. But they don't know how to deal with the feelings that are in their heart. And listen, your feelings are what has happened to you is etched there, and it takes some time for it to move its cutting edge out of you. You never forget it. It takes time. See. I hope this is helping you a little bit. But see, human life, the issue of the heart, is very unique. And that's where you find the Lord, more than ever, always dealing with the issues that are in men's hearts. More than anything else. He wants that done, dealt with. Now, I've had to forgive people in my life over a period of time. And eventually it got to the point where it didn't bother me as much anymore. It didn't make them right, but it sure helped me. Because I'm the one that has to be freed up. I'm the one that has to think good things towards people. In spite of people, you know. You can't change people. Now, if you will, real quick, like, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're gonna focus in a little bit on how do I understand what it means to forgive? How do I understand what it means to forgive? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go to verse 18. And so today we're going to focus on what does it mean to forgive? In verse 18 it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now let's say that all together. Thank you, Father, for the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Oh my, what verses. What verses. And most of the gospel you hear is not the ministry of reconciliation. It is church history saying God is ticked off at sinners. And you who don't do right. That's most of your teaching. Matter of fact, when catastrophe hits the world, it's God causing this to come about because He's ticked off at sin. He can't handle it no more. He's getting shorter fused. Interesting, isn't it? But you know, some of these ministers, I'm going to tell you, they have such a hardness about them. That them and God are so tight and everybody else can go to hell. That's just the way they act. They don't understand the love of God that God has for mankind. That doesn't mean God wants to put up with every wrong that's been done. But I got news for you. In the end, God will get His vindication. But He is long suffering until then because He knows the position that man has built for himself. And so God, in love, has to do something to put him into a position to in the final end, bring judgment on all mankind. And He wants to make sure that all mankind understands very clearly that He has made a way of escape for them before He ever brings judgment on them. Now, the word reconciliation is a very interesting word. Matter of fact, this word here is one that is involved with a form of forgiveness, but it's a very interesting word. Then we're not going to study the meaning of this word for reconcile right now. But the Bible has basically four types of word to reconcile or reconciliation. Four types. Now remember what I said about dealing with the issue of forgiving someone? It's all predicated on first that you've seen to it that you did a check in yourself to see if you brought that offense or not. And that is what you got to focus in cutting off. Because until you cut that off, you could be offendable to somebody else, and then somebody else, and then somebody else. But when you begin to cut off things in you that offend people, then you're going to be more of a reconciliator than you realize you are. And it's not by trying to vindicate yourself with somebody else. Now somebody says, well, what about them? What do they have to do to get right with God? The same thing you have to do to get right with God. In case you hadn't figured that out by now. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, go to verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. And having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. What a powerful verses. These verses are very powerful. It's talking about the operation of circumcision of the heart in the spirit so that you're not one person, but you have been separated so that He can deal with one person through the two. What two? What you are on the body of flesh and what you are in the spirit of a man. Now, the reason God did that is so that He can give you a new beginning to life. Praise God. And He did it through this word to reconcile. Now, three of these are very interesting because in order for us to forgive, we have to understand what it means to reconcile. To reconcile, because to reconcile is forgiveness. But you're not going to like the meaning that's behind to reconcile. Especially the fourth one. The word to reconcile in this passages right here means to take an action, to take an action so that the opposite party, so that the opposite party may lay aside his enmity or rebellion toward you. How many of you know that when you get into fights with people and you want to vindicate yourself, that's the way we normally do? And we're going to go to the pastor, and the pastor is going to vindicate me. And so they come and they sit before us and... And right away, what they want to do is have us jump on their side. That's what they want us to do. And we tell them very plainly, we can mediate between the two, but it's between you two that the mediation needs to work. So you have to take our advice. Well, if you are not their pastor, they ain't going to take anything you say anyway. All as we will become is their opinion. That's all we'll become. But we've learned by experience how to reconcile. And it doesn't come through recompense. It's impossible. Jesus came along and said, if you do righteousness, you'll heap coals of fire on the enemy. You'll reap it on his head. That means you can cause that to come back on them and not you. See? Very interesting. But he says here, this word here means to take an action so that the opposite party may lay aside his enmity or rebellion. So that means that you've got to understand where they're coming from. You've got to understand where they're coming from so you can reconcile what is between them and you by taking an action that will release them of what is causing them to be offended by you. Does it mean that you're wrong, so you got to take a compromising position? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you are willing to take a position that will bring peace to them with you. Now I'm going to tell you these three words for reconciliation. Here's what it's called. Self. Say it with me. Self. S. E. L. F. Self. Sacrifice. Self-sacrifice? Just think, whenever you get into a fight with somebody, it means automatic self-sacrifice. Boy, isn't that something we want to hear? I just don't compute with my body. Some of you might say, I know what it means to sacrifice because of them. I've already sacrificed everything. What more could I sacrifice? Those idiots. Whew, when we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about heart. We're talking about heart. We're talking about we got to change our feelings towards them. We got to change our willingness. We got to make different decisions. We got to do these things that are in our heart towards them. We got to change them. You know what? Forgiveness is not going to be an issue in the third heaven. It's an issue here. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I'll never forget this couple I saw. And I asked him one time, I said, why haven't I seen you in church? I'll never forget her response. Never will. She says, well, I said, I'm okay with it. Just speak your truth. Speak what's there. Well, my husband, he's just not ready for that stuff. What stuff? Just too much there. Too much responsibility. He did not for it. Well, what about you? Oh, well, I'm willing. Let's cop it off on the man. He not willing? So you're caught with the perfect example of flowing with him? The whole essence of the kingdom of God is to do something with your heart. Well, if you go to a church where it doesn't get as complicated, what you're doing is you're heaping a teacher that will remove an itching to your ears. That's basically what you're doing. That's why it is very difficult to sit under the Word of God very long, where it won't indict you, and then in order for you to deal with it, you'll deal with it, or you'll just leave. Because you don't want the responsibility and pressure of it. But I tell you, the Word of God has to challenge you, because it's Christ in you that is the hope of any glory. So if you change and get out from the responsibility of the Word, then what glory is you going to take with you when you are standing before the Lord? I don't want to stand before the Lord in the end and be flickering. I mean, I want to be a beam for the Lord. I care about His passion, because the Lord has a passion for mankind. And you have to get His passion, His love, to connect with people properly. And so, yes, there's a responsibility to understanding these things, but it's His passion. He didn't give us these words in the form of unforgiveness to make your opponent go scot-free. He gave us this understanding so that we not only heal our heart up, but we assist healing everyone else's up. In Colossians chapter 1, go to verse 20. Colossians 1:20. Well, actually 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once enlightened, or once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in His sight. A servant is not above his master. What was required of the Lord Jesus is required for you and I. And these verses will indict you if you do not, from your heart, forgive your brethren. Even though they've trespassed your life, you've got to forgive them. It is important. This word here says something just a little differently, and I want you to catch it. It means to change from one state into another, to put away all enmity, so that friendship flows and there's no impediment that remains for unity and peace to be lost. You want me to say that again? It literally means to change from one state into another, to put away all enmity so that friendship follows and there's no impediment that remains for unity and peace to be lost. It's called sacrifice again. But in this particular word for reconcile, it literally means to change a form of state that you're in. Where the other one meant to take an action. It wasn't requiring you to change a state. What does it mean by to change a state? It means to literally change in your personality, your character. It goes a little more centered on your inner being called heart. And most people don't want to change their heart, especially for other people. Christians, when they get into conflict with each other, show the greatest example of what's really put in them when it comes to knowing the love of God. They will either use the opportunity of somebody else's mistakes to take sides and disfellowship, or rather use the opportunity to draw them closer in to help assist them in the hour of their trial. When people run into problems with people, the time that we as believers need to rally around them is in the time of their trouble. We see, you can't associate with brothers only when they're doing right. You have to associate with them even when they're doing wrong. And church history has taught us that other garbage. How to finally judge somebody. Well, they treat God the same way. They come up with doctrine of trying to convince us how God's looking to get somebody out of the kingdom rather than keeping him into the kingdom. I'll tell you, 1 John, it amazes me how many times I share that with certain pastors. They look at me like a cow at a new gate. They didn't even know 1 John was even saying that. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins if we confess him. And they don't even know that that sin that it's talking about there is a sin that comes between two brothers. Because when you're in fellowship with God, you know what God does? He removes the darkness that's in you. So you can have fellowship with the one that might still have darkness in them. Because you'll become their light. Thank God that Sue and I, God got it right. He told me how to correct her on everything. So it would work. You learned, haven't you, over the years? Yeah. We won't go into what she's learned, but anyway. And of course, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, this one literally means to change one's own feeling towards another so that he changes his. Be reconciled to each other. For this one to work, you must understand where your adversary is coming from towards you. What is causing him to be at odds with you? See, because sometimes it might not be him, it might be you. Ooh. You. 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 You, you. Why, oh, you. So these first three verses for reconcile is very interesting. One means that you don't have to necessarily change anything particularly in you, but you have to change an action towards them. Where the second one really requires something to change in you, because this could carry on to somebody else. This is where you get more to the center of your heart. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, this word for reconcile means to be reconciled to each other, literally means that you have to understand where your opponent is coming from so that you can then change your feelings towards them to help them, to draw them back in. You see. It's very interesting. Some people say, when does my opponent get their due reward? Well, when you get the message of how to forgive, then you're justified from them. That's that simple. Now, the last word for reconciliation. Oh, this one is really the ministry that has been given to the church. This is the word that he was reconciling the world unto Himself. For this word to work in you, you have to go deep into God and into His love. And the further you go into His love, the less you have problems with people. Because God is love. This word in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20, He reconciled the world unto Himself and committed us with the same message. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. We'll look at one more with this last word to reconcile. And this is one not very many of us can honestly say that you've attained to. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Verse 10, now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And the husband is not to divorce his wife. Now notice the next verse. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. Isn't that very interesting? Paul was confused. Because when he looked at the terminology of the reconciliation of the Lord to reconcile, he was looking at the meaning of this word to reconcile. And this is one of the places where this is used other than the Lord. And it's in marriage. Interesting, isn't it? Why? This word literally means to change on the part of one party only, brought on by some action on the part of another. On the part of another. Only one of the party takes action on behalf of the other person, requiring nothing from them. Ouch. I can't do that. Well, tell me, who is deep enough in God to do that? Because that's a message that He has given us for the world. How are you going to go to an unbeliever and preach Jesus if Jesus has got an attitude towards them on their sin? God had to do something simply on His goodness to reconcile them to Him so that an unbeliever could come into the kingdom of God. But, you know, church history has taught the unbeliever that he can't come into the kingdom of God because he's an old unworthy sinner. And God had to do something in spite of somebody else's sin in order to make them come into His kingdom and be reconciled to God. And God did that. Are you ready? He didn't do that only to Himself. God chose to do that to Himself. Nobody else convinced Him to do this because He loved mankind so much that He was willing to reconcile the world unto Himself, not wanting nothing from the world to bring His ability to save everyone. Then you hear this ungodly man stand up and said, what a voice of pride. If I was the only one that would ever receive Jesus, if I was the only one, He would go to the cross just for me. Well, you special little stupid head, you. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus would go to the cross if nobody would receive Him. Why? It's free. He was willing to reconcile the world unto Himself without any payment. And He had to do that by one means that many of us don't get. And that's the sins of many. One man, Adam, brought sin into the world through one act. But God reconciled the world unto Himself against many sins. So His grace is greater. I'll tell you, when I started seeing this stuff, it changed my heart toward you guys. I was becoming an overworked, hurt, resented pastor. Thank God I got rid of that lion spirit. Now I got to serve you guys. As ornery as you are, I still got to serve you. Even though I'm the most perfect one around this church. No, I'm learning every day. Believe me, I am learning every day how to make new adjustments within myself because you guys come up with something new every time. So, okay, Pastor, we got all this unforgiven. I'm still lost. What are you still trying to say? The Bible teaches us that you can't do nothing for anybody else to change their attitude towards you. The only thing you can do is make sure that the offense is not in you. Are you following me? And if it's in you, cut that sucker out. Get rid of it. In the last half of Matthew 18, it talked about that other side. So, the Lord has released you from a great amount of debt. Matter of fact, His servant was released, I think in modern day debt terminology, $102,900,000 is what He released His servant of. He went out and choked a guy for a $20 bill. And so the master came back and said, "Why, you ungrateful thing, you, I forgot you all that debt. You go choke a guy that owes you $20? Go to jail." Who's on $20 bill? Benjamin? Who's on the $20? Huh? Andrew Jackson. Yeah. He went to jail over Andrew Jackson. $20 bill. I'm going to tell you, people, you will walk in a peace that you've never known. And the body will walk in a peace it's never known. If we learn how to reconcile with each other our differences. Thank God Paul put in there, "Speak I, not the Lord." And then he gave examples of where sometimes you can't reconcile in differences. Especially when people are married to an unbeliever. The only hope that you have being married to an unbeliever is if he's willing to let you grow spiritually. He's willing to sanctify the home. In other words, set it apart from the world so that you can continue on, you and the children can continue on in the things of the Lord. He says, but if he's not willing to sanctify the home, kick him out. Yeah, I said that. Boot him right out of the street. Why? He says, your kids could end up unholy, but now they're clean. Because if he's not willing to sanctify the home, and he's not pleased to dwell with you in the state of your commitment to your Heavenly Father, then kick him out. You're not a slave to that. Get rid of him. Boom! 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 Because they could keep you in this constant state. Well, stick with him no matter what because you can get him saved. Well, if he's not willing to sanctify the home, kick him out. If he's willing to sanctify the home, let him back in. But if he doesn't want to sanctify the home, keep him out. Isn't that complicated? Religious minds complicate that. Stand up, everybody. We've got to quit before I lose you all. I put a lot of responsibility on us, didn't I? First order of the day, if you know of a brother and sister you quit relationship with, find a way to repair it. Find a way to repair it, then write it in a letter and sign it and address it to John and I, and we'll put it on a ledger and let everybody know. Just kidding. That should be the first order of the day. If my preaching has any value to you at whatsoever, restore. If you have somebody who had a chip in their life and you haven't figured out how to get rid of your log, get rid of your log, and you'll be able to help their chip. It's as simple as that. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide asunder the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and of our heart. Today, Father, as your people have heard your Word, and Father, we know that they have heard your Word, and many of them have scars in their heart. And Father, they made a decision to forgive, but it takes time for those scars to heal up. Father, today, right now, if there be anybody here that has never received Jesus as their Savior, the world has played heavy on their heart, done a lot of damage. Father, we want to lead them into the kingdom of God and restore them. And Father, if they've received you but have backslid, we want to pray for them and bring them back into fellowship with you. If anybody here has never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God to be a witness to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And if you need physical healing or the message, you need a healing in your heart from the message, feel free to come up after I dismiss. So right now, with that altar call given, please step out and come forward, those that want prayer. Right now, salvation, restoration, and filling of the Spirit. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. 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 We have a hospitality room in back. If you're new here and visiting, would like to ask questions, please feel free to go back to the hospitality room. With that said, Father, thank you for your wonderful people. Thank you for the Word of God. Father, may they get what I shared, and may they walk in forgiveness and get rid of unforgiveness, Father. It'll kill them. So, Father, we thank you for your wonderful Word. In Jesus' name, amen.